Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBR Network. Glad to have you joining us this evening, as always. We're located out of Memphis, Tennessee, and I'm speaking to you from Redmond, Washington. Just wanted you to know that anyone can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Live or by going to the archives, which is really the on-demand section, and that's available shortly after the show finishes. So if you want to go back and listen to the show, this is the way to do it. If you're not online or have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in to 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142, and press the 1 button on your touch tone. And that will let the moderator, Annie, know that she has a question. Tonight, we have a very special guest on. We're always excited when the holler kicks on the show because her predictions are always amazing. They're right on, but she has a lot of great things to share. So she's going to fill us in this evening. Mahala has been on my show ever since I started it, which has been over 3 years ago. And, again, we love having her on the show. She is a very enlightened person, being an astrologer. In fact, I got to spend a little time with her in person not too long ago. We had a great visit. That's one nice thing about living out here in Seattle. I get to hang out with people like her every now and then. Mahala is, besides an astrologer, she's a writer and a lecturer, and she's a minister. And she's a founder of Asclepius Light Center. Didn't say that right, but I got close. Better than last time. But anyway, she's had this center since 1988, editor of the Planet Alert articles. And if you want to get one of her Planet Alert updates that she sends out monthly, just go to her website, www.mahalaastrology.com, and sign up for her free monthly newsletter, and you will get all this great information. Because we don't get to have her every year, even though I would love that. But tonight, Mahala is going to be sharing with us her predictions regarding the powerful incoming energies of the spring equinox and solar eclipse and how it will be affecting all of us. It seems the sun is experiencing an upgrade in its light body field. These solar adjustments are made in the light body of Solaris. It will, of course, also be felt as similar upgrades at the solar level of your own light body. Mahala says because we're getting more into our light bodies, she's going to share that with us tonight. So again, get online. If you have a question for Mahala, call 347-838-9142. Now, I'm going to bring Mahala in this evening. Hello, Mahala.
Hi, Pam. How you doing?
We're doing great. Glad to have you on tonight. I'm just going to kind of turn the show over to you and let you start sharing what you want to tell us is up and coming for us.
Okay. Well, like when you're talking about the solar system expanding, I really felt the expansion in my physical body, particularly like in the heart area, and how that's just really expanding both in the front and the back. And it's also caused a lot of pain. So I don't know if other people are feeling the ascension symptoms too, but like today it feels like my head is about to explode. It's like it's working on like my crown chakra and third eye and stuff like that. And so that's when you're experiencing the bodily pain, you know, of the ascension symptoms, it's kind of hard to go through it, but it comes and goes, you know, and it's, we're moving into the full moon. Like today is March 2nd, and the full moon is the 5th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And so the energy gets very intense as we move into a full moon. And so I just wrote, my new article is up on my my website. So like Pam said, anyone can go into www.mahalosastrology.com and read it. But I'd like to share part of that the article with you today. And so I had started out with, are you emotionally prepared for the month of March? Mars has moved into Aries, which is a fire sign, and the first couple of weeks in Mars will be moving into making an aspect to the Uranus-Pluto square. This energy could become very explosive, so please keep your cool, especially before the full moon here. This will be the seventh and final Uranus-Pluto square. This energy will affect our heads, brains, and crown chakra, because that is what the sign of Aries rules. The sun will be moving through the emotional sign of Pisces until March 20th, and so our emotions will be greatly affected by this emotional fire energy. And this morning I got a response to my article that I'd like to share with, because I thought it was really interesting. And what this woman says is, within the individuals and planetary, the right brain hemisphere is going to be lit up in March. This allows the crown to flower open. A heart-brain connection is assured with Venus. In the subtle light field, there will be a horizontal vortex that connects both hemispheres of the brain. This connection assists in using both hemispheres at the same time rather than either or. Left side is western region of logic and reason, and the right is the eastern connection to intuition and the connection to receiving the higher impulses of the self. In the Bible, it is often referring to the east. East is in the right hemisphere of the brain, and of course that's our creative part. Then a liquid light sphere surrounding the head and brain in a toroidal flow, the ever-renewing spring of eternal life, a smaller sphere will sit upon larger like a top knot on the Buddha. A side note, it is helpful to research meditation and the different stages to understand the process of awakening after the crown opens. The pineal will receive or open to new stages of initiation, illuminated luminous light pictograms. The body will then adjust and heal after such initiations. There is much healing and releasing of guilt, fear, shame after the crown opens. It is still releasing like an onion. Gradual and deeper levels of understanding, but initiate will then be done for good. No karma, no creating any more karma. We're done. There is a difference in dreaming and reaching the many levels of samadhi. Dreaming and dream interpretation is not truth. It is your brain playing out partially experienced in what we think is reality in the 3D world. Samadhi is true reality and is given by grace to the initiated when he and she is ready. The moment you let go of the battle, the war ends. And I had talked a little bit in my article about the interdimensional war that's been going for a long time. But we'll get back to that later. Right now, okay, so the second paragraph, and this is like in effect right now. Have you felt any fear or anxiety lately and wondered where it came from? You thought you had released your issues, and here comes more to release? I just realized that the whole world has been releasing their old fears for the past 2+ years as Saturn moved through Scorpio. A lot of fear was released during that time period, and where did all that fear go? I was told it got caught in our atmosphere and formed an invisible dark cloud around Earth, and everyone who is sensitive picks up this universal fear and thinks it is their own. Like my personally, I've gone through a lot of anxiety and fear, you know, since last August. It's been a cycle. And I didn't have a really reason for going through this anxiety, you know, well, except that I've had some health challenges, stress related, but it was out of context. And so that's when I finally got, oh man, it's all these thoughts. We have a big band of fear around our world and it need to release it. Because a lot of people, they'll just release their stuff and then they won't transform it into love or light. And so the thoughts just stick there. And then they get caught in with all the other thoughts. And so then the next paragraph, I said, the dark ones have been feeding on this fear and adding more to it by focusing on so much fear-based news. They have been using TVs, computers, and other electronic devices to spread this fear. This is why it appears like the world is in so much chaos. And fear equals false information appearing real. It's all an illusion. And then I just thought of another meaning for the word fears. It means fear emerging and requesting solutions. And so this is what we've been going through for the last 3 years. And what are those solutions? Well, first of all, we need to realize that we are picking up fear from that dark cloud. At least those who are empaths are doing that. And then we need to disperse this cloud or change it to a bright pink cloud of love. And so if you feel fear in your body, you know, or anxiety, and you get really anxious and you think, oh, man, what's going on? Or you feel like something major is going to happen or drastic is going to happen, you're just picking up mass consciousness thought. And so just take a few minutes and sit down and maybe deep breathe for a few minutes and focus on releasing that energy from your consciousness. And it's amazing what like 5 minutes of deep breathing can do. It can move you total out of anxiety, you know, and bring you back to normal, where you should be, at least try to be. And then we are moving into the energy of the full moon, which will be on March 5th at 10:05 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This will be on the day of the Jewish Festival of Purim. This festival is on the 14th day of Adar. On the 13th day of Adar, the Jews mobilized and killed many of their enemies, and on the 14th day of Adar, they rested and celebrated, and a new king-queen was appointed. It's interesting that the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin I can't pronounce his name very well, will be giving a speech here in our Congress tomorrow on March 3rd, and he's already here today. And after that, he goes back home, and there will be an election in Israel. It's so interesting how all these major events happen on Jewish festivals, you know, so it tells me that it's going along with, like, Bible prophecies. With that, and then I find the correlation here very interesting. And John Boehner, who is Speaker of the House, invited Netanyahu here to speak before our Congress and went over the head of our president to do that. There has been a challenge going on between President Obama and Netanyahu for quite a while. The president and the vice president will not meet him, and the Secretary of State will be out of town. This is not the usual protocol when someone comes here, when a leader comes here, you know. So what's up with that? And so there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not really aware of, you know, and it has to do with Israel and could be with between Israel and Iran, or it could be with Israel and other people. And then I had already also read an article about how the Israelis are buying oil from ISIS. And that could, you know, that's not, I mean, we don't need to support ISIS because, you know, they're a group of terrorists. And so anyways, because the planets are so volatile this month, especially right before the full moon, and with Mars now in Aries, it looks like we might witness a major event during this time period. And then as I was writing this, I just heard about a major event, and that's where the Russian opposition leader named Boris Nemtsov was shot and killed on the eve of a major opposition gathering that he was going to lead against Putin. What kind of repercussions will be felt in Moscow because of this event? And when I heard that, I thought, oh, my God, this feels to me something like the Martin Luther King event, you know, when everyone was all stirred up and people were gathering and protesting, you know, and then he was shot. And I think that this event that happened in Moscow is really, really important to the people in Moscow. And so we need to keep our eyes on that and see what comes out of that, you know, because of the placement of the planets this month where they're in such a chaotic energy. But also this chaotic can be good, too, because it's a real awakener. Uranus is the awakener. And when Mars moves into conjunction with Uranus, which is on March 11th or 12th, then it can wake people up. I mean, there can be something that will just shake people awake, you know, because they can't sleep any longer. They have to be awake of what to see what's going on in the world, because we're in such an important time period, and then this chaotic period will last through March and into April. There will be another blood red moon lunar eclipse on April 4th, and this is also during the festival of Passover. And it's also interesting how the four blood moons all correspond with four major Jewish festivals. And then we will also have a total solar eclipse on the spring equinox on March 20th, along with the final Uranus-Pluto square. The cardinal signs are very fast-acting, and with Mars square Uranus on March 11th and Pluto the next day, there might be some emotional havoc to deal with at that time. The Middle East is a very volatile place right now, with ISIS getting stronger, and I hear Israel is buying oil from that group. And so I said, who are doing that, and who is financing ISIS? Well, it's the controllers that are financing ISIS. And then the Mars-Uranus conjunction in Mark will be right over the Vatican. So we should hear more news about the Vatican, too. And so the conjunction is 15 degrees Aries and affects 15 degrees Libra, which is the Vatican is located. And what will that bring? The Mars-Uranus energy is one of desire to change the status quo, which in some cases can lead to revolutionary attitudes. Unexpected disruptive events may occur. And then this particular energy, because of the node going being in Libra for the past year plus, so this kind of energy has also been in effect, and it's actually been in effect since Pope Francis came to power. And you know that all of how he's come in and tried to change the whole status quo, you know, and really change it, and change the Vatican Bank and all that kind of stuff. And so, and then when we throw Pluto into the mix with Mars, where Pluto, that's an entirely different energy than the Mars-Uranus square. And so this will bring power struggles involving political, professional, or military affairs at this time. And conflict can also arise over finances, like corporate money, taxes, and the old money system. This is also a powerful energy for transformation on all levels. And the good news is that out of the chaos, a new earth will manifest and a new money system. And the Uranus-Pluto square has been greatly affecting our weather here in the United States, and because Pluto's been right over the East Coast, and I really have compassion for the people up in the Northeast East Coast that have had to go through all of that massive snow that they've had, you know, in the past month plus. And so that is, well, it's very expensive, you know, and costs a lot of money to fix up all the houses and buildings that were destroyed in that. And Pluto, being in Capricorn like it's been for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, Capricorn rules governments. It rules structures of all kinds. It rules money. And Pluto in that sign is the transformer. And so Pluto is transforming everything in that area. And you can tell because ever since Pluto went into Capricorn, there's been major disasters, natural disasters, and there has been all kinds of structures that have been destroyed and are in the process of being rebuilt. And that's like with our body. You know, we've had to let go of all the old stuff in our body. And this is really, really, really important because to have room for the new, which is fast approaching, we have to have a pure, clear body to be able to handle the high-frequency energy that is here right now. And so, like back in August, on August 11th of 1999, there was a solar eclipse over the England, the UK, and this one on 2015 is also going to be over that area. But at the same time that the eclipse happened there in 1999, there was a fixed cross in the heavens, and the sun was on the degree of 18 degrees Leo, and that is the degree of Christ consciousness. So we've been feeling the effects of that eclipse way back on August 11th of 1999 and have been releasing stuff and getting ready to be able to manifest Christ consciousness. And so it's been like from that eclipse to this eclipse. And now on this eclipse, Jupiter is on 13 degrees Leo right now. And let's see, we'll be at the eclipse, we'll be, well, still on 13 degrees Leo. And the Leo rules the heart and the Christ energy. And so as Jupiter continues moving through Leo, it will be up to 18 degrees Leo probably in August, around that time period, because Jupiter stays in Leo until the end of August. And so it's like moving from one eclipse to another one. And that's how long eclipses can be in effect sometime. You know, I mean, if anyone, you know, said anything about it, I mean, it was like, oh, that's not possible. But on some level, it has been, because that was the real beginning of us going into the transformation process of releasing our dark stuff and moving into, so we could move into the higher dimension Earth. And now it's my understanding that we've been in since in 1987, at the time of the harmonic convergence, the timeline split, and we moved into, the Earth moved into the fourth dimension Earth. And it was really interesting because a lot of things happened that said to me, okay, this really happened. And one of the things was a friend of mine called and said that he had had a dream of a world war happening, and his dreams were really, really dramatic, and they happened. You know, they were like reality. And then at the same time, I heard on Coast to Coast, a man that was on there said that we just jumped a new reality. And so that was confirmation from two different sources that this had happened. And so the fourth dimension is where it's like our astral level. It's where everything exists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this is where the interdimensional war that has been going on since then has been occurring. And so right now, I was told in a dream that on January 16th, the timeline split again. And now this split from the 4th to the 5th. And, of course, there's always an integration period after this happens, you know. And so, anyways, this is my understanding, because I know in a lot of other people, their understanding is that we're going into the 4th. Well, the 4th is, we've been going through it. You can tell by everything that's happened that we've been in the fourth dimension. Well, once we make the break and move out of the fourth into the fifth, the controllers will not have any power anymore, because we will have moved above their frequency. And so I think that this is very important for people to know, and why it is so important to continue releasing the past stuff from your system, old stuff, because the new, I think, comes in on this equinox, you know, and it's starting to right now. Oh, because of the expansion that we've been going through. I mean, this has been a tremendous amount of expansion. And so I thought, oh, man, I hope it breaks at the full moon, because I don't like feeling this body pain that goes along with this expansion. And so with this solar eclipse coming up, and I, it's so interesting that it's also over England, because of England, I mentioned this before, that in my understanding was the Holy Land, you know, like in the time of Jesus and all that group, because that's where they went after the crucifixion, and the whole group of them went up there. And then they stayed in that area. And Mary Magdalene taught, you know, for several years after that, the Gnostic gospel, which is their way of living, which was the same as the Essenes. And so, and the reason that they went up there was because the great central sun that holds 27 galaxies in place, plus our Milky Way galaxies, focuses into Orkney Island, which is just south north of England, and then it, that whole area, you know, gets the benefit of that high energy coming in. And, of course, that's one of the reasons that the dark side took over that, you know, and set up the Bank of England where it did in England, because, and then they took basically control of the energy over there. And so now, with this eclipse coming in, the first one in 1999 started the breaking process of the energy. And that's also, like, in November 8th of 1998 is when the Earth first reached zero magnetics. And that's when the magnetic pole started shifting. And now it has moved up to where the magnetic pole is really, really moving. And we are connected to the magnetic pole of Earth. And the magnetic pole, you know, is like connected to the core of our Earth. And like Tom Kenyon just sent out an article about how the magnetic field affects us. And so if you just, you know, type in TomKenyon.com, I'm sure that you could find his article about the Earth's magnetic field and consciousness. And one of the things that he says is that, through channeling, is the magnetic field of Earth is involved in a perturbation or morphing. It means changing. This is taking place interdimensionally, and the net effect is incremental surges in amplitude or strength of the magnetic field. And the strength of magnetic field, I mean, it's just the way that the core is moving, and it's moving back and forth. And when Comet Elenin, the green comet, Lovejoy, I like that name, Lovejoy, just came through at Christmas time, and then as it went through the Pleiadian system, it caused the perturbation in the Pleiadian system, which of course affects us because we're part of the Pleiadian system. And so then it started really changing and shifting. And so when this is having a very strange effect upon human consciousness, specifically your biological experience, many people are experiencing increased of exhaustion and weariness. And these symptoms are also caused by movements of energies from deep space as they pass through your galaxy and your solar system. And this perturbation is of a different category. This is caused by our magnetic field itself, which is responding to the deep energies from space. And it is a response of the molten core of your Earth itself, and the magnetic field is having a conversation with the cosmos, if you wish to think of it that way. And that's pretty interesting. And so with all of these things coming together, you know, right now, in this month and on into April, and this solar eclipse, you know, the spring, because like in astrology, I always wondered why the new year never started on March at the spring equinox, because that's when all the new birth happens, you know, and we move into the sign of Aries, which is the first sign of the zodiac. And so it's, I consider this the spring equinox, the birth of the new year. And so this one, and this is really interesting because, I ran a chart for today out of curiosity. And so Lilith, which is the hidden goddess, and Lilith has been given a very bad name in the past, and that's because the patriarch society, or the male patriarch, wanted to take over and control, and so they threw the goddess out of everything, and then they gave Lilith a really bad name. And Lilith was actually, in the symbolic story of creation, the first wife of Adam. And so Lilith was also... there's, you know, like our creator goddess of many names. And I believe that Lilith was all part of the creator goddess. And so right now, as we are talking, Lilith is on 10 degrees Libra, and the node, the north node, is on 11 degrees Libra. So this is telling me when Lilith conjuncts the node, which is a person's destiny, that it's a destiny of the goddess to now come in full-blown and take her part, and the goddess energy, of course, is in both male and female, you know, because we're both that. It's just, it's a love energy. That's probably a better way to say it, is the love or the Christ energy. And so it's time for that to manifest. And then at the spring equinox, let's see, where's Lilith? Oh, yeah, Lilith. Okay, I thought this is really interesting. Lilith is exactly conjunct Saturn, you know, known in mythology as Satan, or our karmic teacher. And so with Lilith exactly conjunct Saturn on 4 degrees Sagittarius at the spring equinox, it's like, okay, move over, male patriarch, here comes the goddess. And so, and also Uranus, you know, Uranus and Mars will be almost conjunct. Uranus will be on 15 degrees and Mars will be in 21 degrees. And the midpoint of that is 18 degrees Aries. Well, the sun is, in astrology, is exalted on 19 degrees Aries. And so, and that's the point on our planet, and according to Richard Hoagland's work, on all of the other planets in our solar system, they all have this opening to the cosmos on 19 degrees Aries. And so when Mars is on 18 degrees Aries, you know, well, it's making the midpoint, the two of them together. So the energy from Mars and Uranus will be on the midpoint of this energy that connects up with all of the other planets. And it will be making a trine to 18 degrees Leo, which is a degree of Christ consciousness. So I think it's time for everyone to be emotionally prepared for this great amount of energy that's going to come in, you know. And it's really interesting because, like, when I found out that the great central sun focuses into England, particularly Stonehenge, and a friend of mine and I were talking about it, and a bunch of scientists had gone over there for that particular spring equinox, and they measured the energy, however they do it, with their energy measuring machines, and the energy that came in there was so strong that it just, like, made the needle go off the chart. And so that was like a scientific proof of the energy coming in there. And so I thought that was really interesting. And so with other, the solar eclipse, let's see, there's going to be, it's on 29 degrees Pisces, you know, and so both the sun and moon will be conjunct on 29 Pisces. And that's just like a short time, I mean, like an hour before the eclipse actually happens. And so it's a combination of Pisces and Aries eclipse. And so, well, do you have any questions, Pam? I've just been talking.
I've got 1,000 questions, but I love it. It seems like when you say one thing, then you say something else to clear it up. And it sounds like we are coming into some different times. And I think, like you said, it's really important that we stay calm and cool and not get into all the fear and negative that's out there. And,
right.
And that if we're empaths, we're going to pick up on that. And so I would say protect ourselves. And but no, Mahala, I love what you're sharing. And I know that we have to go through this birthing, you know, process to get to the other side of it. And I guess I would just want to know what would be the best things that we can do, you know, besides, you know, just staying away from the negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most important thing, I think, is to, however you can make yourself peaceful and calm, to, like, if it's deep breathing, I know deep breathing works really well with bringing the peace into you, you know, and into your center, and focus on the heart chakra, because there won't be peace on earth until there's peace inside of us, you know. And so if it, you know, like it looks like with the planetary aspect, that this is going to really bring our two brains together, you know, and connect it up. And I think that that's what's been going on. It might have been going on actually for quite a while here with the connection between the two brains, so we can experience unity consciousness. And it was really interesting because, let's say, a group of us had a little ceremony, and one of the people there had said, well, this, the two brains are coming together, you know, and there's a connection between them, you know, an actual connection being made. So it'll be one instead of two. And then a couple of days after that, I looked on the SOHO website, and here was a picture of the sun. And it looked exactly, I don't know how that it got to be that way, but it was like two parts of the sun and like a little bridge on top of it. And I did print it out at the time because I thought, man, how could the sun be split in half like that, you know? I mean, how could it come out in SOHO? But, you know, the people in charge of our galaxy can do anything if they want to. And so I have that picture around here somewhere, and it's really awesome. And so some people experiencing those things before others do. But I think it's taken quite a while for this connection between our two brains to really take effect. And I think that that's the main thing that's happening to us with this solstice, will be the brains coming together and our crown chakras maybe really opening wide up, you know, to the higher consciousness. And, oh, if that does happen, you know, I mean, and people aren't expecting that, you know, that could be kind of a little challenging, I think. Because if you all of a sudden become extremely psychic, you know, you don't know what's going on, that could be a little disturbing. But anyways, so that's why it is really important to the whole month of March and up to the full moon of April to just really, really, really keep your calm. And if you have your calm, then wherever you go, other people can automatically pick up that energy, you know, and so then they can start experiencing it too, because it's needed right now. And those that are awake need to help those that aren't awake. So when we go through all of these changes, and it won't just be a one-day thing, you know, the last blood red moon is on September 27th to 28th, of 2015, and that's on the celebration of the Feast of the Harvest Festival. And so that will be like the ending of the series of the four blood moons that we've had to go through, which is in like Bible prophecy, you know, of the trauma, main trauma is that. And so the time between March and September, you know, there might be quite a bit of chaos. And so This is the start of the major chaos. And I shouldn't really say chaos, because chaos, out of chaos comes a new reality, you know. Our creation came out of chaos. And so our new creation has to come out of chaos too. And so this is the time period we're moving into, a more accelerated chaos, so the new reality can be birthed, and it will be one of Christ consciousness and us moving and connecting up with our Christ consciousness. And this will happen, I'm sure, sometime between the spring equinox and August, I think. Might possibly go into September too, but I think that the part about cooking up to our Christ consciousness will come probably as Jupiter is moving closer to the degree of 18 degrees Leo, which, like I said before, is the degree of Christ consciousness. And so what we've been working towards, you know, for such a long period of time, we're seeing the end of it now, and we're ready to go into the new. And so, and then everyone, you know, everyone has their own reality, and there's many different realities on Earth as there are people living here. And so what's right for one person is not always right for another one. And so the people who have been working so long, basically since 1987 when we jumped timelines and we went into 4D, and that's when a lot of people became aware of the controllers and the interdimensional war that has been going on. And I don't know, you know, David Wilcox is one of them that's been keeping up on it a lot. Well, I know that this war is coming to an end because I have experienced it in my own life. And I thought, oh, thank God, it's finally coming to an end. And it's gotten really close to Earth. And so it might get even closer where we'll actually be able to see the explosions in the sky. But I was told a long time ago that, you know, right before the change happens, that there would be this war in the heavens, you know. And it talks about in the Bible, like there was war on the through our solar system, through our universe, you know, and that has been going on for a long time. And so, and that's one of the reasons that the Earth is so important, because it's the last planet to have its change before the whole universe is. It's not just our planet or the solar system, it's the whole universe that will become oneness. And that's so important. And so that's why the Earth has been so important, because it's been the educational experience of what it's like to go through all of the challenges and to finish up all of our past lives from other time periods and to let go of all that stuff so we can become one in unity consciousness, the solar system can become one in unity consciousness, and the universe can become one in unity consciousness. And our solar system was our universe was a big experiment, you know, in how the light and the dark would get together. And so there's been a lot of battle going on for a long time between the light and the dark. And this battle is finally coming to an end. And like I said, once we move out of 4D into 5D, the battle will be over, because we'll be above the frequency of those who choose to fight and destroy each other. And that's why I think that's when it talks about in the Bible about two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left, you know, because you have to be on a certain frequency to ascend. And it's not like, oh, you know, that guy's not perfect or something like that, you know. It's because it's just all a matter of what people choose to experience, you know. And there's still the doorway to the ascension process will still be open, it's my understanding, until, I don't know, 2017 or 2020. And so it's like the first wave going through, you know, and then they can help the others to get through. And so, you know, it's not like people are lost if they don't make it on the first wave. You know, it's just that the ones who have been working so long to reach the Christ consciousness, you know, it would be such a relief to not have to deal with the controllers or the dark side or all of the negative things that they can do and that they try to do, you know, to have that gone from our consciousness and our experience. And like that comment that I got on my blog this morning, you know, once there's peace within, then the war is over, you know, and that's where it will be at.
Wow.
So any more questions?
Well, no. You really did answer them. I guess I do keep thinking about that we're an experiment. And I think that when I really was shown by my sister, or she was shown, that this planet was an experiment, and that and she got really upset because she didn't want to be experimented on. And she said, we thought we were rats in a maze down here, and that, you know, we were here. But now that we're going understanding what this experiment is about, and that is for us to raise the consciousness of the planet or the solar system, you know, that we're
yep.
in. It's a good thing to be a part of, you know?
Yes, right, yeah, yeah. The Earth used to be on sixth dimension, and it fell, and that's one of the things that the fall was all about, falling from sixth dimension. And 60 is about where magic and miracles occur, you know? And so when you're living on the 4D, like we have been since 1987, in my understanding, then your consciousness can go into the 5th and 6D, you know. And so there can be magic and miracles on the timeline that we're on. But once we get up to the 5th thing, then that's kind of like 5, you know, like 5 is the middle between the numbers 1 through 9. And so if we get once we reach the 5D, then we can open up to the consciousness all the different levels, you know, and we'll be multidimensional beings. And I'm interested to see how that's going to work out. That should be a real trip.
When you say that we can be multidimensional beings, what does that mean?
It means that we can be part of not only 5D, 6D, we can be part of 70, 80, 90 in our consciousness. And basically, we'll be able to do, as we raise higher in consciousness, we'll be able to create our own reality and do, like, create with our thoughts. I mean, instantly. And we'll be able to do, like, the things that are talking about in the books, The Masters of the Far East, where you can, you know, you can fly, you can teleport, use teleportation, talking with mental telepathy, create things simply by your thoughts and have them manifest real fast, almost instantly. And that, to me, is a pretty exciting reality that we have to look forward to moving into.
Well, it is exciting, and these are exciting times. And I think, for me, I definitely feel a quickening of everything in my body, in the energies that are around me, and the people that show up that come around, because I know that there's no coincidences and that it's so much synchronicity now. You just have to be open for that.
Yes, yes, definitely, yes.
Yeah. We've got a couple people online. You want to take a caller because we've got about 10 more minutes left for the show. Let me bring Donna. Okay, that's Donna from California.
Okay.
Hi, Donna.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Should I tell you my birthday?
Well, sure.
It's April 22nd, 1954.
And so you're a Taurus then?
Yeah, Taurus.
Okay, well, the good news for you is that you've been a really transformation time period, you know, because it's extremely hard when Saturn is opposing your sign. When Saturn, for the last 3 years, you know, when Saturn was in Scorpio, it was opposing the sign of Taurus. So I imagine you went through a few challenges during that time period.
Absolutely.
But now Saturn is moving. Saturn is in Sagittarius right now. It's on 4 degrees Sagittarius. And so, and Saturn being the karmic planet, you know, it says, oh, man, if I was a Taurus, I'd breathe a real sigh of relief, you know. But Saturn will retrograde back into Scorpio for like 3 or 4 months, but it will only be on like the last degrees of Scorpio, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that
mm-hmm.
will not have the same effect that it did before, because it will be bringing in tremendous energy, and it will bringing it in from Alcyon. And so because Alcyon is on 29 Taurus and 29 Scorpio, is the opposite degree of that. And so it will be pulling in a whole lot of energy. And so if you have learned all of the lessons that you've needed to learn in the last 3 years, I would say that your life is going to turn for the better now.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, the last couple of years were very tough. I mean, I had promises, you know, people had given me promises over 30 years, and then it didn't come true. you know, because the person forgot to do what they said. And, oh, my gosh, I was just so disillusioned. And I spent a lot of time in nature. And, you know, for the last couple of years, I pretty much stayed to myself. And, yeah, I feel like I'm going through a transformation. Like,
yes, you are. You have been. A major
good.
One.
Will finances get better, do you think? No, it's been major. Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Well, okay, well, I think that there's been, you know, like if one light worker breaks through a barrier, then others can follow, you know, because they've broken the barrier. And so a friend that I know, they just kind of, were in major financial stuff, and they just broke through a barrier, you know. And so I thought, oh, hallelujah, you know, now it can open the doorway for the rest of us. And so with the new reality coming in, a new money system comes with it. And that's in the, I mean, that should be, I mean, okay, there's already, you know, the BRIC Union. And they have, you know, that's all set up and everything. And more people are joining this union. And so it's my understanding that that is going to be a much more fair money system, you know, than the controlling one. And so the people who have been working on that behind the scenes for so long, you know, it's getting close to breaking through. And so when it breaks through, it'll break through for all of us.
Oh, good.
And so, just keep that in mind and just pray for the change in the money system.
Yeah. And I go through lucky spurts, too. Like I won a car and a trip to Italy and a trip to Taiwan and, I mean, a big TV. I just go through lucky times, too. It's like, I don't know, it seems to magnify it. So it's been kind of dry
the last couple of years. The lucky time, yeah, that's because of Saturn opposing your planets. So the lucky time should be on the way here for you, you know, within this year.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, and I'm also, I haven't been with a partner, male, in about 7 years, and now I'm on internet dating sites, and, you know, I'm trying to bring, you know, get into a relationship this way.
To
get to meet someone.
Yeah, and that's another thing that so many people on Earth have gone through, have been the relationship issues. And the node, Libra, rules relationships. And so the node, which I think is the most important point in a person's chart, has been going through Libra for over a year, and it will be there until, like, about June or stuff. And so this highlights relationships. And the main part in the last year or so has been, like, the breakup and the changing of relationships and stuff like that, you know. But now we should be moving into where more people will find the person that they're supposed to be with because, well, you know, like if you have a relationship, if the person's not on the same frequency that you are, you know, there'll be a lot of lessons. But if the person that you find, and so this might be really important for you to take in mind, is that if they're on the same frequency as you are, you know, then it can be a very, very good relationship.
Oh, good. Yeah, that is true. You do have to be on the same frequency.
Right, because if you haven't released all of your stuff, you'll just mirror that back to you, you know, in a relationship. And that can be very difficult, you know, when it's mirrored back. But if you are yes. So if you are good yourself, you know, and have released all that garbage and all your button pushings, then you can attract someone to you who is on the same frequency as you and won't push your buttons.
Wow. That's good. That's good because it's kind of been resolved exactly. Wow, that is wonderful. Wow, I'm really looking forward to, you know, all this good stuff coming in because, you know, it has been tough the last couple of years. Oof.
Yeah. Oh, it has been, like, with the Scorpio, I mean, Saturn in Scorpio, because Scorpio is all your deep, dark stuff that needs to come out and be looked at, you know? And so it's been very, very difficult for a whole lot of people, and particularly people who have been a Taurus and Scorpio, you know, because they get hit right on, you know? So, anyways, but it has been difficult for I think, almost all light workers the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was fast speed transformation. And now hopefully we can start releasing that at the spring equinox here and then see where it goes.
Yeah, great. So all this should start happening soon, you think, for me?
There might be a little retrograde, you know, like in the next couple months, you know, in June.
Okay.
Let's see, from June to August, I think, is the retrograde period.
Uh-huh.
And so there might be a couple things coming back during that time period, you know, or it might not either, you know, maybe you're past it. So if it does come back a little bit, just know that Saturn's retrograde and it's just a passing fancy and it will be gone soon. And I think that we'll all be on a real forward movement, you know, come September with the fall equinox. You know, so the time between the spring and the fall, I think that there'll be a lot of things happening. And then those who are ready, you know, can go into the higher frequency and things will be great for them.
Oh, good. Wow. Well, that's a lot of encouraging, good information. Good. It's always
good.
Nice to hear good things.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
excellent.
There's a lot of good things that'll be coming.
Thank you for calling in, Donna. We've got just a couple minutes. I want to ask one question. I have a couple of close friends that are Sagittarius. Now, does that mean that Saturn is going to be in their house for the next 2 years, which is
the thing about it. Okay, let me tell you about that. Okay, because Scorpio is a deep, dark stuff within you.
Okay.
Sagittarius is it's universal. It's a higher mind. It's universal consciousness, it's freedom, and if we have learned our lessons, Saturn, no matter if you're Sagittarius or what, they will bring in the rewards that Saturn brings as it goes to Sagittarius.
Oh, that's great, because I was really kind of stressing for them, because I remember when Saturn went through Aries for 2 years, and I had more stuff happen to me that I remember a lot of it.
Yes, but see, we're in a different energy now. You know,
okay.
The energy has increased in frequency so much that we'll be bringing in the higher frequency of Sag.
Great. That's
as Saturn goes through there. And you'll see all kinds of people wanting freedom, you know.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's one of the vibes of Saturn. Like freedom, I mean, Sagittarius and Aquarius are the two most freedom-loving signs of the whole zodiac. And so you can't keep a Sag down. Like being a fire sign. Okay, the Aries, like Aries, you know, that's a different vibration than Sag. You know, so Sag are more concerned. Aries are more reality. You know, and concerned with like the earth and the reality and stuff like that. And they're the ones who blaze the trail to bring in all of the new stuff, you know, just like you've done with your program. You know, you've been a trailblazer. And so, but then the Sag is, it's, I really like Sag people. They have a sense of humor, you know, and they're very philosophical and they're a lot of the teachers and stuff like, you know, that energy.
Yes, they are, the ones I'm talking about. Oh, mahalo, thank you, honey, for sharing that. That was such good to hear. So I know everyone has loved the show tonight. I know I have, and I definitely want to go back and listen to it again. And I want everyone to remember, if they want to get your newsletter, they can go to www.mahalas.astrology.com. And you can get her free monthly newsletter by signing up there. Tell them about your Edgar Cayce readings that you do.
Oh, yes, I do. I have a computer program that has an Edgar Cayce past life reading, you know, chart on it. And so I have to have the specific birth date, you know, month, day, and year of a person. And then they are very interesting. And I would... I keep hoping that people will ask for them for their children, because you know, it would be something that, you know, could direct their life as they, you know, get older. Of course, the children that are coming in right now are so highly advanced that they probably don't need any help. They'll probably be our teachers. Yeah. So anyways, okay, if you are interested in the chart, just email planetalert@hotmail.com with reading in the subject line.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank everyone again for getting online, and be sure and come back next Monday at 4:30 that Pacific Coast time, the Cosmic Contact Show. We're going to have some more great people on all month long. And again, Mahala, thank you, honey, for tonight. You was wonderful. You're amazing. We surely are happy you're hanging out on the planet with us.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, ma'am.
Me too.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good evening, everyone.